Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me as always is my co-host, RJ Sines.
Hush.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and we discuss what's the major difference between guy farts and girl farts.
Varying degrees of pride.
So your theory... Okay, let me see if I got this right. Your theory is guys are... they don't have any pride and they just let it go?
Typically.
Girls are too proud.
Typically, girls are too proud. Guys, no pride.
What would you say? Like, give me a good soundbite, girl fart.
Can barely hear him.
No, give me a good soundbite, guy fart. I hear it. I hear the difference of pride.
Honestly, it's all very childish, but at the end of the day,
it's scientific.
It's about pride.
Yep. Well, today, we're talking about Amy Poehler. That's right.
Yeah, I farted. Deal with it.
She's not above fart jokes. But before we get into the goods, RJ is going to take us through the world of comedy news comedy.
Yeah.
Take us there, RJ.
I don't think you have a definitive name. You just literally say a different thing every time. It sounds so weird to me. But yeah.
The news is different every time.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
So can't put a label on it.
So this week, in case you missed it, on HBO, the premiere of Pete Holmes' show Crashing, which I'm pretty sure we've talked about before. It's really good. I watched it. Hilarious. Pete Holmes, one of my favorite comedians.
Excellent.
Judd Apatow helped produce it. Go watch it on HBO or somewhere on the internet illegally. Also, Girls Season 6, also from HBO. Their final season, Lena Dunham, very funny. This is the sixth season of the show. I've watched the whole series. And you know what? I've enjoyed it. It's been funny. And this is season premiere. Pretty good, too. So, very different kinds of shows. But there's something for everybody when you're at HBO.
Excellent.
Home box office.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Huh.
Anyways.
You know.
Also, another interesting thing. At the Grammys, Patton Oswalt won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
Oh.
Which is awesome, because I swear I've talked to him about... I've talked about him. I've talked about his special. I've talked about that he's nominated. And I'm very excited, because it's a very good album. And he deserves it. He's worked really hard. He's an amazing comedian. So if you haven't heard Talking for Clapping, you got to go listen to that.
Excellent.
also, a little side fact, kind of like guilty pleasure. Grace and Frankie Season 3 is coming back to Netflix on March 24th.
Guilty pleasure as in you watch that?
As in I love that.
Whoa, who's better, Gracie or Frankie?
Honestly, I cannot
tell. Wait,
it's two
girls.
It's not just
Frankie.
Frankie is Lily Tomlin.
Okay.
And Grace is Jane Fonda.
Okay.
And their husbands are gay for each other.
For reals? I'm sorry.
You're sold.
A joke.
Automatically.
Oh, yeah. That's
so it like sends
a synopsis right there.
They're in their like, you know, they're in their late 60s, 70s actually. It sends them in like some existential crisis and
sure.
They become friends even though one's like, you know, super pot
hippy
and
dippy.
Jane Fonda and the other one's like hippy dippy Lily Tomlin and stuff and you know what? It's not highbrow by any means, but I just think Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda together on screen like this, it's just like, yeah, like sometimes
kinda
you need that.
Watch it.
Sometimes you just need a little bit of like old woman humor.
Yeah.
Elder or older. I don't want to offend anybody.
Speak for yourself. That was a cough laugh.
Yeah, I was like gonna laugh like haha, but there's like something in the back of my throat. It just sounded like I was throwing up.
I always thought that show was just like straight up like the season 25 of Golden Girls or something, because it's
in the same vein. It's, you know,
but the synopsis you just gave is not Golden Girls.
No,
like it's very different.
It's very different.
They've updated it,
but yeah,
good for them.
Good characters, great cast. You know, pretty stereotypical sitcom stuff. I'm stoked for it. No one else has to be. It's my opinion. It doesn't matter. I could be wrong. I don't care.
Go start your own podcast,
yes,
okay?
But some really big news. Big week for news. NBC has ordered 3 separate pilots from Mindy Kaling from The Office, Tina Fey, everyone knows Tina Fey, and Bill Lawrence. He was the guy who's helped work on Friends, Boy Meets World, and also Scrubs. We've done an episode on Scrubs.
And also Scrubs. You're right. I'm sorry. I was about to say, and also Office and Parks and Rec, but I got Greg Daniels confused.
Of course.
All the execs.
So anyways, the Mindy Kaling pilot is going to be about a charismatic gym owner with no ambition who lives with his younger brother, Michael, a gorgeous idiot. Their simple life of women and working out is put on hold when the teenage son of Vince is dropped off on their doorstep by Priya, who's Mindy Kaling, one of his high school flings. Oh no, one guy actually has a kid now, changing his world. I don't know. Wasn't super jazzed about it, but I like Mindy Kaling enough to check it out. The Tina Fey pilot is, the synopsis says, reunited when two estranged sisters perform an act of public heroism and are forced to navigate the aftermath together.
It's like the 30 Rock episodes, Subway Superhero.
Exactly. The exact same thing. And honestly, anything Tina Fey's working on, I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt has been hilarious.
Yes, a trailer dropped for season 3. I didn't watch it.
But, no.
But Titus was like waving a flag.
You got news on my news?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. I have news on your news after the news.
Okay.
Just give me a sec.
This is a newsy week. And Bill Lawrence's pilot is about a working class genius and his struggles to fit in with an established team, all made more difficult when their job is building a rocket to Mars. What? This sounds like, I don't know, just kind of cheesy to me. but at the same time,
Do we know any names that are in that one?
No names yet for Bill's. But yeah, I mean,
interesting.
They'll at least get a pilot, and who knows if they're going to be good enough to get a full season, but this could be coming out next fall.
Wow.
3, NBC could be back as King of Comedy.
Excellent.
Whew. That was a lot of news.
Inside news, more news. One of your newses actually came true.
One of my news came true. Yeah. All of them come true.
I know that, but I've never experienced it all firsthand. I just assume that what you say is fact and just let the podcast listeners decide for themselves. But before I came over here, I was on Netflix and I looked at the little promoted what's going to be new. Mm-hmm. And it was David Brent, Life on the Road.
Yeah.
I was like, RJ predicted this. How?
How did he do that? So if you guys are listening to this, I think I've got a pretty good track record of just being one step ahead of the media elite. So if you're confused about fake news, you got to come to Why Am I Laughing? We'll get all you whalers the good news ahead of schedule.
This is prime pickings, like first off the lot news, just fresh to your doorstep, grade A news.
Yeah. All right.
This is awesome.
I'm in.
But I got to give that a shot. I got to give the Life on the Road David Brent thing a shot.
Yeah, I honestly haven't watched it yet. Maybe we should, and we'll tell you about it. Also,
next cast. Maybe.
Not. No, we should.
Okay, but today we are talking about Amy Poehler.
Oh, that's right. We have a whole show we're doing.
You may know her as Amy Poehler Bear, Amy Poehler Coaster, or Amy Poehler.
What?
Sorry, I don't know how people know people, but
the first two nicknames are pretty good. I've never heard that last one. It sounded like some kind of
Amy Poehler.
Some weird Swahili Native American speak.
But let me give you guys a brief intro of who she is. She graduated from Boston College, where she got her start in improv. And then she joined Improv Olympics in Chicago, naturally graduated into Second City. But in Improv Olympics, she met the famed Tina Fey.
Of course.
Where they started their road to bestie friendships. She moved to New York in 1996, co-founded the Upright Citizens Brigade before becoming a cast member on SNL in 2001. She rose through the ranks of SNL cast memberhood and then became top dog before she left the show in 2010. She starred as Leslie Knope in Greg Daniels' second NBC mockumentary hit, Parks and Rec, and her movie accolades includes movies such as Mean Girls, Blades of Glory, Baby Mama, and of course, Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
Who could forget the instant classic of the summer of 99?
Rob Schneider can carry a movie like you can carry a tune.
Did you know that his daughter is that singer? Oh my gosh, it's going to kill me now.
Schneider?
Yes, Rob Schneider's daughter. I saw Vance Joy perform and his daughter opened. And he's got that really popular song. Dang it, it's gonna come to me eventually. But anyways, just a little side
look
tree.
It up.
No.
With your mind.
Another interesting thing, I always forget this, she's in Inside Out.
That, yeah.
She's like the main character.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But you don't, I don't know. That's Amy Poehler.
Yeah, yeah. She's perfect. I mean, like, you think about Leslie Knope, like, right? She is joy. Like, she, her vocal inflections is just, like, joyous. I mean, you know, in Parks and Rec, we'll get into it a little more. She's overbearing and you know, very controlling. But she's always happy, right?
That's true.
And so I feel like she'd be a natural pick.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, talking about this history, I feel like, what, so she moved to New York in 1996.
Yeah.
The last 20 years, she has still been in so much, like so much stuff. And especially in the world of comedy, like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Just those 7 years that she was there, 8 years, I think. Like, unbelievable. Sorry, 9 years. Bad math.
You're good.
The 9 years she's there.
Fooled me.
Just became one of the best SNL cast members of all time. And has just permeated the market of hilarious Amy Poehlerdom. So you think she's been around forever, but really, she just technically was new kid on the block, and now she's owning the whole street.
Yep, she's the best. But here's the question. Here's why we gather today here in this dumpster behind the Arby's. Why is she funny, RJ?
I'll have a roast beef with cheese. No melted, not melted, please. Thank you.
Let me tell you why she's funny. Amy Poehler is funny because she's sharp, she's blunt, she's unapologetic. She can portray so many different types of characters, from the mundane to the crazy bizarre. She's an improvisational master who was born for sketch comedy. Her commitment to her performance is just something to marvel at. She dives in head first.
And as an added bonus, she has outstanding facial expressions.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Every face that she makes, it's, I don't know if you know this about how podcasts work, but I can't really describe a facial expression.
Well, I didn't say give the audience an example. I said give me an example. Okay, I see it. That's good. Let's get into it. Amy Poehler, she's funny. Let's talk about early SNL days, shall we?
Early SNL?
Yeah.
Like her Sharon Osbourne impersonation.
Yeah. I mean, she came in 2001. Who else we got? We have still have Will Ferrell left over. He's in like 2004 or 6.
That's right. Yeah, 4.
Yeah, 2004.
So you got Horatio Sanz. She worked with
Jimmy,
Tina, Seth, yeah. Rachel Dratch, Maya Rudolph. Eventually, Chris Parnell. Oh, Chris Parnell was there.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think. She kind of bridged the gap between the old guard of, like, the Will Ferrell and the new guard, yeah. Which now is kind of gone. Like, the Jason Sudeikis, Will Forte, Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig.
You have early 90s. You got, like, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler. Then that transitioned into late 90s. You got Will Ferrell. He kind of dominated, I guess.
He really did. He carried the 90s on his back.
And then transition into the early 2000s, in comes Amy, in comes Tina, in comes Jimmy, Horatio.
And they Horatio and Amy both were starred in the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a history together. Tina and her had a history together because they'd been in Chicago all those years back. She actually got the nod to be on SNL because of Tina Fey. She was like, by the time Tina was head writer, she's like, hey, Lauren, you should check out my friend Amy. She's pretty funny. And she was instant hit.
Excellent.
And the first thing when I, especially, sorry, you said early Amy Poehler, I think of her Sharon Osbourne impression, right, on Celebrity Jeopardy. I almost forget it's Amy Poehler because it's just such a,
right,
bizarre, like, British accent. Just the, like, oh, Minnie, you love that old Jeopardy. Like, she's just this weird, squeaky, high-pitched thing. And I think at one point she says, like, some terrible curse word. I don't
remember. But it's funny because she kind of gets remembered for, you know, she did that. She did Hillary. She has some impressions, but...
Dakota Fanning.
But they're kind of more like... You, like, especially Hillary, you just kind of look like Hillary. She's not necessarily this master, impersonator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's...
Jimmy Fallon can become Jerry Seinfeld.
Right. So, but I would say, I mean, we kind of talk about it with all... I mean, you said she can portray so many different types of hilarious characters. Her impersonations are still hilarious characters, but that doesn't mean... that they're good impersonations. I think she does an amazing job as Hillary Clinton. I think all the bits she does as Hillary Clinton are hilarious. But I wouldn't say, who's the best Hillary Clinton impersonator? Probably Kate McKinnon. Like, not not Amy Poehler. But at the same time, like, that's the funny thing that people get confused with. Just because you can be like, coffee cake? Is it coffee or is it cake? Do you eat it for breakfast or take it after dinner? Like, no one...
That's your go-to Jerry joke.
People think, they're like, oh my gosh, that was the best Jerry Seinfeld impression ever. No, it's accentuated like points of the way he talks and does stupid stuff.
No, but that was a good impersonation. Like, you can make Jerry into a character where he's like, I just make money, yeah! Like, that's like, oh, okay, you're just going over the top.
Why do we need windows? I don't want to see outside!
Paranoid Jerry?
Yeah, Paranoid Jerry. Well, it's just extreme observational humor. But regardless, the impersonations that are really good are the, like, you know, people who can tap into subtleties and, like, sound, like, trick the audience into thinking, like, oh, I am them.
Yeah.
But really, you know, she doesn't have the world's best Hillary Clinton or Dakota Fanning impression. Do you remember that Dakota Fanning show where she's just like, and she does all these, like, kid things, like, where she portrays a child. Uh-huh. She's really short. And she'll just, like, sit on the couch and, like, have, like, Miley Cyrus come on the talk show. And Kenan Thompson is, like, the in-show DJ. She's like, right, Jerry? Or whatever his name is. And he's like, yeah. Like, he's just pissed all the time.
He's, like, an adult. And he's like, why do I have to be here?
Oh, shoot. What's his name? I feel like I remember it. Anyways. Kenan Thompson in that specific bit. But, yeah, the other, like, little kid thing she does is... what's her face? Not Rick.
No, Rick's the name of the...
Rick's Horatio Sands, but her name is... Caitlin. It's Caitlin with a K.
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. How much do you want to bet? Look it up.
Okay, I'm looking it up.
That's my catchphrase, and now I'm saying my catchphrase. Look it up. It's Caitlin, for sure. Almost guarantee it.
Yeah, you're right. It is Caitlin.
Ha!
Dang
you
it.
Burnt. Look it up. So now that you trust me, Caitlin, the ADHD spaz girl with a list.
Super hyperactive.
Who's with Horatio Sands, who's the stepdad named Rick. So Rick, I want to get my ears pierced, Rick. Please, please, please. I want to get a little rainbow. No a Q, no a heart. With an arrow, with a K. Rick, 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 Rick.
But you have to imagine that, like, cranked up to 10.
I know. I don't want to be, like, screaming right now.
Yeah, you can't yell, but it's so funny. Oh, my gosh. I love that character. She's like, Rick, 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 Rick. Can we go to the Hot Topic, Rick?
Can we go to Spencer's Gifts? Please, I want to go to Spencer's Gifts.
Can I have a sip of your soda for some sustenance?
The writers just give her all, like, S words.
Oh, so easy.
Save me, Rick. Which is, like, a funny thing. So, so now that I'm making a connection, she's done a lot of really funny characters that are little kids. One of them is when she portrays Andy Richter's little sister on old Late Show with Conan O'Brien. Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And that was so funny, which is such a good Conan bit. You throw it to Amy in the audience, who's this little girl in headgear. And they're like, oh, Andy, it's your sister, Amy. And she's like, she's got a crush on Conan. And, you know, she just ends up yelling at him in the audience because, you know, he's got a girlfriend or a wife or whatever. And she's
so
losing
good.
Her mind. But, yeah, she just gets to be her best version of herself when she can just go, like, full throttle Amy and just be – you know, she, like, sharp, witty, yeah, you know, in your face.
Especially that Caitlyn character, she, like, a lot of times will get up and just do, like, flailing arms and kicking legs. Like, she's very physical.
Ooh, look at this, old people parade.
Like, she's so good at that, like, mile a minute thing, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And just, like, and which is interesting, especially when we think about how she really, like, sealed her fame with Parks and Recreation. The character of Leslie Knope is not really a zany, whirlybird character. Very grounded, down-to-earth kind of woman. But a lot of her best SNL bits are zany and ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I love so much Amber, the one-legged, like, beauty contestant. They'll have on, like,
it's so good.
Swan or yeah. America's Next Top Model, or
that was like the early 2000s had a bunch of those, like The Bachelor.
Rock
all those
love.
Shows were like, yeah, super popular.
Brett Michaels,
and so they
eat
did
your
like
heart out
contestant that was just like totally unqualified. Like usually when they had the host was like, you know, some attractive actress, they would have her be like a regular girl who like doesn't believe in herself or something, and then Amber, she's like, yeah, I got one leg. Yeah, I farted. Jealous?
I don't... what does that have to do with anything? That's what she said. That's not how it works.
You're not using that right.
That's what she said.
Oh, okay, you got me there.
All right, you got me again for sure. Like, she...
So good.
She's just foul. She's, yeah. And that's, I think, almost the... I mean, I'm stoked next week to talk about offensiveness in comedy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how a one-legged character would fly. I mean, this was just about, like, what, 6 years ago,
yeah,
even?
Maybe.
It wasn't even, like, that long ago. And I don't know anyone who got upset about that. But it's the disabled person who's, like, offensively funny and, like, like in your face about it. That
right.
makes it, like, even more funny,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know.
It is a good character, though.
Yeah.
Because more than just, like... I mean, she does have one, like, but she's just trashy. Like, she just, like, says stuff that's just like, oh my gosh, you're not, like, trying.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh my God. So, I don't know. There's a lot of really good characters and bits that she's been on SNL. But like I said, she really sealed her fame with the Parks and Rec Leslie Knope character.
Yep.
And that was, at first, in my opinion, a really boring, not... more than one-dimensional character in the first season.
Well, yeah, the whole show had some problems season one of just getting off the ground, which mm-hmm. is not, you know, atypical of these kind of shows. But you're right. Her character definitely developed and got way more precise. And then the last season, it was like so precise almost that it wasn't even fully... as funny as it used to be, I think.
Yeah. No.
For just the last season,
yeah.
Which I didn't even put this together. I was just looking at it. The last season was set in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
That's so funny.
That's now.
Yeah.
Total Twilight Zone moment for Ben right now.
Whoa. Picture a car. Sorry.
Now picture two cars.
But
Leslie Knope.
Yeah, get it
more
to Leslie Knope.
Come full circle. Leslie Knope is this pioneer, go-getter, you know, gung-ho, small-town woman with a big-town mindset.
Yeah.
And I just love, I mean, you take the craziness and insanity that Amy Poehler can have, and she does a good job caging that
mm-hmm.
in the heart of Leslie Knope.
Yeah.
So it's not a character who is... losing her mind. She's a very able-minded, able-bodied,
focused
controlled, passionate woman.
Yeah.
And you see little, you know, goofballs things here and there, like when she drinks too much or when she's got a cold.
Yeah.
She's like, could you pay the taxi cab driver? I couldn't read it. It was in Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Wait,
the floors and the walls just switch places. Like, that's why I like some of my favorite versions when she's like delirious. But
I would say if you like, for me, the definitive Leslie Knope is the episode, The Fight. Do you remember that one?
With her, when she gets mad at...
Ann Perkins,
and yeah. They're drunk, right?
Rashida Jones. Yes, it all has to do with snake juice.
Is it the Snake Pit Lounge?
Yeah, no. The drink is called Snake Juice. I don't remember what the bar is called.
I think it's called Snake Pit.
I don't think so.
Look it up. Don't look it up, but I'm just saying my catchphrase.
But you're saying your catchphrase. Got it. you got to clarify sometimes when you really want me to look things up.
It's in parentheses. Look it up. It's my catchphrase.
But that to me is the definitive note, because she, you know, goes over and above for this her best friend, which she's obsessive about, right? Mm-hmm. She gets her the job without asking her. She, you know, brings her like study materials, and it's like this massive binder. She's like, you just partially memorize that. Like, she's insane, right? She like my dad bought the book that they like made of like her
fake Leslie Knope
like
book
things that she's done in Pawnee, and it's like, it's such a good character. She's just so thorough mm-hmm. and crazy. She always has a binder that's super thick.
A great antithesis to Ron Swanson.
Exactly. Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love the way those two characters just yin yang throughout the whole series. But I think this character is so multidimensional, and Amy Poehler does a great job bringing varying emotions and, you know, physical comedy, absurd comedy, ridiculousness, delivery, facial expressions. I mean, I've said the facial expression thing when we were talking about why she's funny.
Yeah.
But that is a huge part of it, because it's like, you know, especially in these mockumentary style shows, mm-hmm. Amy Poehler's face is in front of the camera like 80% of the time, and she's rolling her eyes or like,
ooh. Yeah,
like,
so most of the written jokes, like the punchline lives or dies on a look to the camera. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't physically like write that down and picture it. You know, it has to rely on the actress. Yeah.
And so they'll cut to, you know, Leslie Knope, Amy Poehler, and she'll be sitting there with her like eyes like sunken back and her head cocked back, like mm-hmm. like really worried. Or sometimes they'll cut to her and she's like, "Are you kidding?" Like just her face,
which
tells
I feel
it all.
Like she was trained really well for that on SNL. Because even the Amber sketch, like, I can tell she has really, really good sense of timing. Mm-hmm. There's one part where it cuts back to her, and she's supposed to strike a pose, and she just goes, uh-oh, and she falls.
Here we go.
Yeah, it happens again, and she's like, oh, not again. And, like, her timing on that is, like, it has to be spot on, or else mm-hmm. you're not going to laugh, because you'll be like, what? But I think that's something that's kind of built into Amy Poehler that she took into Parks and Rec.
Do you remember? We actually saw them film in the Orange Circle.
Yes.
We got up at the crack of D.
Yes.
Don, that is.
Yep.
And got to the Orange Circle and watched them film Icetown. Wait, what
so
was
yeah, it? The episode where they go back to Ben's town where he did Icetown, where he tried to, he was mayor and he got fired or whatever.
Yes.
They used our Old Town Orange little circle place.
Plaza,
And they used it for filming, and then if you wanted to come, like, watch, you could maybe be in the background, and we totally went. And I remember I sat on a bench, and Amy Poehler, like, did her lines and walked right next to me. If I would have, like, picked up my hand, I would have touched her hand.
And she would have been like, get the hell away from me.
And she would have been like, you, start a podcast. And we're like, okay, I will, but not for a couple years.
Probably won't work out, man.
But isn't that crazy, though?
That,
yeah.
I just remember that just now. That was such a cool experience. And it was like a small set, too, now that I think about it. It wasn't super big. They only took up about 50 square feet.
But the only cast members that were there were her, Ben, which is, Adam.
Adam Scott.
J.K.
Simmons.
Yes, I almost said J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, J.K. Simmons, J. Jonah Jameson.
J.K. J.J. Abrams.
LOL J.K.
No, yeah, J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Of Whiplash. Like, not a regular in the show, but he was in that episode.
He was there.
Funny. He's really short.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember his height.
Yeah.
They were saying on a
podium.
He
was about as tall as Amy.
Really?
Yeah. I remember being like, wow, that dude's short.
Dang. Everyone in Hollywood short.
Jonah.
Do you know what the average height is in Hollywood? I think it's 5'6".
What?
For males.
For males? That's nuts.
Not counting Conan O'Brien. Conan and
he
Pete Holmes.
He destroys the average.
Conan O'Brien and Pete Holmes are the alpha factor. Like, they're like 6'5".
I love
people.
That moment when a basketball player comes onto Conan and you're like, Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. You're a monster.
They're the same height. Oh crap.
Is the set smaller?
But so let's get into some of her movies. She had a couple bit roles on like Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty classic. She's the underprotective mom.
She's the underprotective.
She's cool mom. That's what she is.
Tried too hard to be cool mom.
Yes, 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 yes. She's like, she brings lemonade or something.
Yeah.
She's like, lemonade. She's like, ugh, get out of here.
Okay, use protection. Totally that kind of mom or whatever, but like really weird.
She's got less of a bit role, more of a slot in Blades of Glory.
Yes,
she's
the unsung hero of Blades of Glory.
Yeah, her and Will Arnett.
Tell him you want a snowball. Snowball. That when it's
Snowbone.
Snowbone. Oh gosh, you got me for sure. It's Snowbone. It's John Heder on the phone trying to talk to Jenna Fisher.
Yeah.
Jenna Fisher's sister is
Amy Poehler. Yeah.
And she's on the other line with Will Arnett, who's playing her brother also. And they're like, Will Ferrell is telling John Heder what to say,
yeah,
and Amy Poehler is telling Jenna Fisher what to say.
So
and
good.
They're like trying to talk about their first date.
Yeah.
Tell him you want a snow bone. Yeah,
yeah. She says, he goes, oh, would you want to get a snow cone? And she goes, yeah, say you want a snow bone. Oh my gosh.
And she's just like this filthy ice skater with Will Arnett,
yeah,
who's her brother.
But they're like, they're the reigning American champs.
Yes.
For doubles, and then
they like allude to pretty incestuous relationship but like make it really funny,
but like they're threatened by Will Ferrell and John Heder because right. They're coming into their sport, and yeah, they're like,
they do this whole
they're like the, I love in the beginning, they're so the ridiculous Olympian. They're like, this gold or this medal may be solid gold, but it doesn't weigh down our dreams.
Like, no, dreams are in your sleep.
It's so good.
Some of the best.
She
lines.
Sets him up for some good lines.
Oh yeah, and they, like, I mean,
we let down Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch.
No, not only did we embarrass Marky Mark, we let down the entire Funky Bunch. She does
so
like
good.
They do this skate routine with JFK and Marilyn Monroe,
yeah,
and she's got like
she's like puking up necklace. The pills.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. That's so good.
Enough on that. But she's been in things like Wet Hot American Summer with like Paul Rudd,
mm-hmm,
Envy with Jack Black,
mm-hmm,
and we did talk
and
about
Ben Stiller.
That's right. Baby Mama, which was I thought was just decently okay. Some people really love it. Whatever. Sisters, I missed that, but
yeah, I didn't watch that either.
It didn't seem like something that really was gonna go anywhere. But you know what? Prove me wrong.
If you're into it, you're into it.
Write in and say, RJ, you're a dumb idiot. You got to go see that movie.
But yeah, I think she won some stuff for Inside Out. Am I wrong?
You're not outside in. That's
okay.
For sure.
Whoa. But yeah, she does such a good job owning that voice acting. Like, just she is Joy in that. She does, mm-hmm, such a good job. Which I think the perfect counterbalance to Joy is Phyllis from The Office, who,
yep,
is Sadness. It's so,
well,
good.
That whole ensemble, Bill Hader, Lewis Black, Mindy Kaling, like,
right,
they all did such a good job, like, as those core emotions.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's just, honestly, we watched that movie, oh gosh, it must have been like 6 months ago, just a typical Saturday waffle breakfast, say, oh, let's watch Inside Out. We haven't watched that yet. I did not expect to be crying into my waffles, but I was, and I don't regret it. You're jealous.
By far, Richard Kind is the best as Bing Bong, Bing Bong.
Try our new podcast out, Why Am I Crying?
Where we watch sad movies and just cry on
where
the podcast.
Where we watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape. And listen to Sound of Silence.
Oh, that's a hit.
Oh yeah,
there's a market for that.
I think
people,
so,
are sad.
Well, there's that great podcast, geez, I'm gonna botch the name, sorry in advance, fella. The Fantastic World of Depression. Hilarious World of Depression.
For reals, that's a thing.
Yeah, like some good nihilistic comedy.
Oh wow.
Which I'm a huge fan of.
Sure. That's funny. But yeah, Inside Out is really sad. Bing Bong.
Oh boy. Yeah.
We all had a bing bong.
Well, I didn't, but you definitely did. If you know what I mean.
So, do you want to get into when is she not funny?
Yeah. To be honest, it's kind of, I mean, I'll preface this part of our show with, I honestly don't have a lot to complain about her comedic prowess.
Yeah.
But one of the funnier aspects of her, and this comes from Michael Schur, one of the co-creators of The Office and Parks and Rec, he said, Amy Poehler is not good at impressions. Of all the things she does exceedingly well in comedy, impressions is just not one of those things. And we try to make her do impressions on Parks and Rec. So there's like this clip show of her doing impressions, and they're not good impressions, but they're funny because Leslie Knope is doing bad impressions. So that's like, that's where it works. Is she's not doing the best of impressions. And we kind of talked about this to begin with. She doesn't do necessarily good or amazing impressions. She hits up on a few qualities or quirks of a character, but then has amazing characters. Her characters are what transcend the impressionhood,
for
so
sure.
to speak. So that's probably the only thing I got against her for that.
Yeah. I think sometimes for me, like, she can go too over the top. I'm thinking Baby Mama. I mean, I never saw Sisters, but like sort of that thing of just like, what up? I'm in your face. Like, I don't know. Sometimes for me,
sometimes it works. Sometimes
it becomes
doesn't.
One note. Like if it's one note, that's fine. And they use it well, but sometimes it's one note and they just play that note the whole time. And I'm like, that's not uncompelling to me. I'm out.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you know, it's the one dimensional characters, certainly,
sure.
But she's at her best when she's got some people around who are funny and she's a ridiculous character. I think her years at SNL were amazing, and I think she's only going to go up and up. I mean, like we just talked about last week, she's going to be working on that new show with Carol Burnett. I don't know if Amy's starring in it, but either way, I think, you know, everything that she's done is so far pretty good. At least,
yeah.
I mean, even what, Baby Mama, I wouldn't say, oh man, terrible. Ugh, Bridget Jones's baby was better. Like, no way. Like, she's
sure.
still, like,
yeah,
her
yeah.
and Tina's stuff is so good. And for crying out loud, if you host the Golden Globes 3 years in a row, like, successfully, you're probably one of the best in comedy in general.
Yeah.
So
she's great. But that's what we got for Amy Poehler. Yeah, she's pretty funny. And now that means it's the time of the show for Ben's Wacky Facts.
Oh, really?
Wacky. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Nah, I was going
to
say, oh, really? But it's not that funny anymore.
With Seth and Amy.
Oh, shoot.
We forgot about that.
That's just the best bit.
Yeah.
She's so good on Weekend Update. And she's just... I just love, especially with her and Tina.
Tima?
Tima fame. Her and Tina, and then her with Seth.
Yeah.
Completely different dichotomies.
Sure.
Completely different camaraderie, but still both.
Same Amy.
So funny.
Yeah.
Amy does such a good job in that format.
I do love, yeah. Really, it's just like that super sassy, sarcastic,
deadpan.
Like,
yeah.
Really? That's what you're talking? Like, you burn over the top. Yeah, I love that. She does that super well.
Yeah.
That's primo for her.
Okay, so now it's time for the show that we like to call Ben's Wacky. Oh. Wacky. Double deuced.
Nobody steals my line but me.
There you go.
So yeah, this is the part of the show where I'm going to say some wacky facts and RJ's going to rate them on a baseball field. You ready?
Probably. Yeah, I'm all ready. Yeah, I'm good. Now I'm good.
Put your shirt back on.
Okay. Now I'm ready.
Excellent. All right, here's fact number one. Amy Poehler's first SNL debut episode was actually the first episode after 9/11.
Ooh,
too soon.
Jinx.
You don't owe me anything.
Yeah. Dang.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, just a kind of a weird fact.
Could you even imagine being like, congrats, you're on SNL. Start next week. Come to the office. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then 9/11 happens, and you're like, the show must go on. I mean, have you seen that episode?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very powerful episode. Like, right away, they have
Who starts it? Is it Jimmy or Lauren? I think somebody
Lauren
talks.
And Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yes. The
mayor of New York at the time.
They talk about how it's important to laugh in these times.
Yeah. and like the firefighters are there too. And yeah. It's like, whew, really sobering. But again, like something that we can talk about next week on, you know, when are things offensive, you know, funny, timing, context, etc.
For sure.
This is a thing that, you know, it happened, but do we just not do SNL ever again? Hell no. Like that's when you need
it the most. Yeah. You're so right.
But dang, I still couldn't imagine, you know, trying to be like, all right, this is a great start to my career.
I know, right? Like I would feel like, I mean, not only does it feel like just bad mojo, but like, I'm really going from the ground up here because this is like got to be the toughest episode, or maybe not. Maybe it's the ripest moment to jump in. I don't know, but pretty
TBD.
Wacky, huh? No, it happened already.
I guess we'll never find out.
Put it on the baseball field, all RJ. Right.
Well, I'm going to try to avoid any terrible 9/11 joke in this analogy, but it's a very simple Amy Poehler up to bat. The pitcher throws the ball. She swings, hits it, and it doesn't look like it's going to go well. It looks like it's going to be an easy out.
But who's that? Bing bong.
Bing bong, bing bong. What are you going to do? The song you sing? Sing your song. A ground rule double.
I thought bing bong would help with the sadness.
No, there was no sadness. It was okay, just cool. Like uncertainty.
That's good. Avoid the sadness.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's our other podcast, Why Am I Crying?
No, there's another podcast called Avoid the Sadness. Oh. Where we just don't cry.
No, this isn't sad.
We just tough it up.
It.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't care about
it's
it.
Like, whatever. Like, friggin' love bing bong. He's awesome.
Okay. Here's wacky fact number two. Amy Poehler was promoted from featured player to full cast member on Saturday Night Live in the middle of her first year on the show, 2001 to 2002. The only other cast member to have this distinction is Eddie Murphy.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts? So when you come on, you can come on as a featured player anytime, right? So she came on right after 9/11.
Sure.
But then before the season was up, she had already graduated from... So there's a difference between
like a
featured player
right.
and cast member, which is featured player. You're coming on, which kind of trial run. She graduated into full memberhood before the end of her first season.
That's awesome.
Only other person to do that.
Some people sit in featured player limbo for a few seasons and then get the boot. But that's pretty impressive. I did not know that that was that fast. And I did not know that only Eddie Murphy had done that.
I know. It's crazy.
Speaking of other accolades, here's a little side trig for you.
Whoa.
RJ side trigs. .gov.
I don't have a soundbite for that.
Ooh, Cedric! Like a little child screaming on the swings. I don't know.
Okay, I'll make it.
So
we'll get it next week.
Amy Poehler was the first woman ever nominated for Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actress for the Emmys.
For SNL?
For Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
No one else had ever been nominated before she was.
Not even Gilda Radner.
Nobody.
Wow.
So that's kind of along the same lines.
Yeah, right.
Very wacky. And for baseball analogy rating purposes, it's a very simple Amy Poehler up to bat, and the pitcher is getting ready to pitch, and the people in the stands are like, boo, you suck. Oppression. You'll never hit it. You'll go back.
Go Pats.
Go back to Boston, you hoser. Even though they kind of have a Boston accent, so everyone's like kind of confused. Like, what do you mean? Like, you sound like you're from Boston. And they're like, shut up. Go back to New York. You're crazy. And anyways, pitcher throws the ball, and she hits a home run, and all the people who are pressing her go home, but feel good inside because they're like, you know what?
Let's she deserved
give
it.
Let's give her a chance.
I like the commentary on the side by some Boston dude.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There's a lot of Boston dudes.
Ground run double to a home
like
run.
5'4", 250, just like five dudes with
mustache.
Like hats and
like a mustache on a mustache.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not a thing. Okay, here's wacky fact number three, otherwise known as the final fact, last fact.
Dun, 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 dun.
Amy has another rare distinction of being one of the very few actresses ever to be in two movies that opened on the same day in the U.S.
No way.
Mean Girls and Envy opened April 30th in 2004.
Prince and the Pauper.
Which one's the prince?
Oh, really?
Which one's the plopper?
Harry Plopper, Dazzy Dazzy. That's a dumb joke.
It's fine.
That's really wacky.
Isn't it crazy?
Wait, so she's the only person?
She's one of the very few actresses to ever do that.
Very few meaning three.
I'm not 100% on the final number of how many people have done that.
Well, maybe you should check the whack facts before you get questions. We get emails every week. Is this? We have to avoid reading them.
I answer
Ben
them
doesn't know
directly.
Just kidding. So that's really wacky. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus. However, if I were... No, just kidding. This is a very great baseball hit because you got Barry Bonds up to bat.
Yeah.
And Amy Poehler, pitcher. I don't know why she's pitching now, but she is. And she throws the ball. And he's like, hey, wait, why'd you throw the ball? This is supposed to be your home run. This is for you, Amy. Oh, yeah. And the Boston guy's like, this game doesn't make any sense.
Strikeout.
Now they sound like they're from New York. And then the Boston guy's like, oh, what's that guy smell? I can't even do a Boston accent right now. I'm messing up this analogy so bad. That was really wacky, and I couldn't adequately rate it. But that was really wacky. Home run. Good job.
Wait, so is that good if somebody hits a home run off of Amy?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want her to throw a strikeout?
Right, but Barry Bonds said, this is for you, Amy. So automatically the point goes to the other team.
If you say, this one's for you, the pitcher's name,
yeah,
the other team gets the point.
This is for you, Ronnie Daniani-A. Boom. Official ruling, point for the opposite team.
It doesn't make sense why they would say that then. Excellent.
I didn't make the rules, man.
Yes, you did. That's all we got for wacky facts.
Thank God. I'm running out of baseball here.
You're fine. We got a lot more podcasts to cast, okay? So you come up with those facts.
I didn't get the extended warranty,
you
honestly.
Come up with those ratings. That means it's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot.
You forgot about the rest of the podcast.
I know I did. All right. This is great. So this week's whale mail reads, hey, guys, this week's podcast was funny as usual, referring to last week. However, the best part by far was actually RJ's Seinfeld sponge joke. Ben not getting it, and RJ immediately moving on, not wanting to explain. I was dying, ... Oh, my God, I think he died. Oh, no, he signed it. Randy S.O.C. Wow. For a second, I thought this guy died, and then I was like, oh, no, we got a death on our hands. That makes three on the podcast now. What are we going to do? But do you remember that joke?
Yes, I do. I saw this email. I went back and listened to that part, and it's like such a small little part. Let me tell you, Randy, you were reading into it way much because there's not a bigger Seinfeld fan than me.
Ben, you sound upset.
I'm offended.
You should be on that podcast, I'm Not Crying.
I'm offended as a comedian.
What's it called? I'm Not Crying, or Why Am I Not Crying?
No, Avoiding Sadness.
Avoiding Sadness, that's right.
But I knew that he was making the sponge-worthy joke. Like, is the fact worthy enough to waste a contraceptive on? I get it, but it also doesn't make a lot of sense. So
no.
I didn't want to get into it. I was just like, oh, cool, like a sponge bath. I was trying to help RJ out.
So basically what we have here is a classic case of friend joke syndrome, where your friend tells a joke and you're a friend to your friend, and you go, look, I don't want to get too into this joke because it's not really that funny, so I'm just going to avoid it altogether.
Try and bail him out.
And just go moving right along.
Joke.
We got a podcast to do. Can't spend time telling you why that joke sucks, RJ. Keep it moving. But yes, Seinfeld reference. And honestly, Ben, you might have just not noticed. We'll never know.
No, I noticed.
We can't go back in time and figure it out.
Yes, we can. It was recorded.
Well, there's no way to prove it. Anyways... That's the whale mail. Thank you so much for writing in, good sir.
Yes, thank you, Randy.
We will always...
For the continued listens, we appreciate your podcast ship.
Yeah, and if you and your friends at home want to find out if Ben really didn't say or really didn't laugh at Spongeworthy, go to www.puzz... Wait, what?
What episode was that?
It was the last episode, Dodgeball.
Was it?
Okay. That was last time.
Cool, yeah. Whew. So check out the Dodgeball episode if you want to... hear what Randy's talking about.
Yeah. It's a good episode.
Where can people find us, RJ?
You can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. And also, Ben, where are we now? What network?
We've recently been added to the Pod Tyrant Network, which is a really cool thing. So go to podtyrant.com if you want to listen to us or catch a couple other really cool shows like other cool shows.
Cinematic Sound Radio,
yep.
Nerds and Nostalgia,
yep,
and another great one,
Couch
would be,
Tomato.
Yeah, the Couch Tomato. He's got a show, and also Screen Watchers Guild.
Yes,
they all got great shows.
You could also go to geektyrant.com if you want to hear from our podcast or other podcasts, or just get some news on geek, TV, movie, popular culture.
Yeah.
What about Twitter? Where do they go?
Yeah, you can check out our Twitter page at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And again, our email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. If you want to email other podcasts, whyamicrying@gmail.com.
That doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. You have to call me directly. My number is 714.
Beep. I love that one. Give a number and then it gets bleeped out later.
Text the word cash to 5.
Nice recycled joke.
Oh, yeah, it's all in there somewhere.
That's a deep one.
That's deep.
Well, if you want to follow RJ on Twitter, you can always hear his antics and crazy things that he spews out of his Twitter. It's at Rodolfo the Brown for him.
And if you want to find Ben at Twitter, you can find him at Avoiding Crying. His new podcast where you avoid crying, and he's really masculine, so he doesn't want to talk about it. It's not a big deal. Don't push him. I love that bit. I'm probably going to talk about that for the rest of my life.
Please do. Thank you again for tuning in this week. If you liked us, go ahead and tell some of your friends or give us a rating on iTunes. Both of those will contribute to our general well-being. We have to do a good and big thank you to bensound.com. That guy's got some cool music. If you're looking for unlicensed music, go on over to his site and you can find some good stuff. He did our theme song. And you can always come back to us every Wednesday for a new episode. Next week, we're going to be diving into some sticky subjects.
Ooh. Honey. we're going to be talking about offensiveness in comedy. Why is offensive comedy funny? This is one of the best things to talk about in this day and age because, one, everyone's very easily offended. Number two, people don't often know why they're offended. And number three, there are some very funny offensive things in this world.
People love to push the boundaries. We're going to ask questions like, is that okay? Should we be doing that? Should we be sensitive to that kind of stuff?
When can we laugh at the one-legged girl on beauty pageant shows?
Why is it funny when that is happening versus why is it not funny when if that was a real-life person?
And you shouldn't laugh at that.
It's going to be some navigating waters that we're going to have to navigate. But
there's
some
pretty hard and fast rules, and we'll be happy to share them with you.
But anyway, every Wednesday you'll get a new episode. That's next week. We're going to leave you with our old adage. When we talk about comedy, I forgot the adage. comedy is all about
crying.
Crying timing.
Yeah.
Time crying.
This time week crying. On Time Crying.
No, this week on Time Crime.
You do the time, you're going to pay the
crime.
You're going
to crime the rhyme.
You're going to get slammed.
Will Arnett and Will Forte come together for Time Crime Cops 2.
You're going to steal the wind, John. You're going to pay the crime for this slime, John. It's a show where they always rhyme. I don't know.
Okay, bye, everyone.